This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson, you know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833. Episode 372 with Madeline Edwards. Loved it. What a fun time. This is Madeline Edwards' song called Mama Dolly Jesus.
You ain't mama, Dolly Jesus.
Man, she is, and she was described to me as someone who will come in and challenge you in the best way. Meaning I would really like her and she would go just whatever I had to say. If she had something to say back, she would for sure say it. And that was the case. Her new album is out right now. It is called Crash Landed. I think we recorded this the day before it came out.
We did.
So we kept going. It's out now, even though it wasn't
out.
Something like that. You can follow her at Making Madeline. She grew up in a large musical family that moved from California to Houston when she was in high school. You know, her mom was a big influence on her music taste. Her mom wanted to listen to jazz and classical. And, you know, she even made her listen to old country Western music. And Madeline even sings for us a little bit when talking about jazz, which I thought was crazy.
It was awesome.
When she was doing the, I can't do it because I never want to make anybody sing. And I said that. I was like, I don't want to make anybody sing here because you didn't. But she did. And it wasn't that she was showing off how good she can sing. She was showing a jazz style. I was like, wow, that's crazy. So check it out. I really enjoyed it. Support her. Go follow her. This is Madeline Edwards. The new album is called Crash Landed. The new song is called Mama Dolly Jesus. And here she is on the Bobbycast. First of all, thank you for the coffee.
Of course.
So this is this a special brand or a special flavor?
It's both. Okay. So this is a Houston-specific company. It's called Katz Coffee, and they bring a lot of different elements of Texas into the coffee. So it has these very, very slight notes of like sugar, cinnamon, chocolate, all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. It's my favorite coffee, and I'm not a massive coffee drinker. So anyone that likes coffee, I think, is actually going to really like it.
We had a coffee machine. I guess it was an espresso machine, and I had forgotten to clean it. And I say forgotten, I don't know, like a year. And so it was so gross. It's almost like when you look in your dryer and you forget you haven't been cleaning out the lint for a long time. You're like, oh, wow, it was so disgusting.
Do you have like a normal coffee machine?
Yeah.
I would figure in a house like this, you have like a robotic coffee maker where it like cleans itself and then it says, hey, good morning, how are you?
Well, we had that too. Yeah. We have whatever. I was going to say that, but yeah. Well, we had an espresso machine that basically did that too, but it was so, I just had left it so disgusting that we had to throw it out because it was like a virus inside the thing. My wife was like, this has never been cleaned. And I was
gross.
Like, I know, I've really let you down. So, but we have a new one now and it does. It tells us, hello, good morning. It rubs my feet. It's amazing. It's the greatest coffee machine ever.
I want to try it. That's amazing.
Have you done the Today Show yet? Did you just do it?
I did it yesterday.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Who were you with?
I was with Hoda and Jenna.
Love them.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing. They kind of freaked out after I played, and I had no idea we were still filming, and I almost cussed on air and because I was just so excited from their reaction, and I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I'm glad I'm not saying this in front of everyone on national television.
Luckily, there's a bit of a delay. I hosted the Today Show a few weeks ago with Hoda, and she's the loveliest. And she's as, if not more lovely off camera. It's one of those rare people where you go, there's no way they can be this awesome all the time. But I spent 4 days with her. Just the best.
She's pretty amazing.
She's pretty amazing. And so I'm glad I'd heard either you were doing it or you had done it. And I was hoping that was the hour you did because they're amazing. How that experience is weird, though, because you have to get up so early to like go through sound check.
Yeah, that's why my voice is like an octave deeper today and my eyes are bloodshot. I'm not stoned, I promise.
If you were, that's okay, too. But it's like, you go on at like maybe 10. That's the hour you're actually on up there. But you have to, what time do they tell you to get there?
We had to get there at about 4:30. And so obviously I have to get all my makeup done. I have to put hair into my already here hair and put makeup on, lashes, the whole ordeal, which I don't usually do. But for national television, I thought it was probably appropriate to look decent. And so I'm getting up at like 3 a.m., if not earlier than that, to start getting ready to go.
It's brutal. It's brutal for me. And at my normal job, I wake up really early. Obviously, we go on the air at 5. But I imagine for you, someone who doesn't, your job doesn't require you most of the time to wake up that early. That's awful.
Not usually.
Yeah. Are you doing the thing where you're going around to radio stations? Have you done that yet?
Radio tour?
Yeah.
No, yeah, not
good.
Yet.
It's the worst. I hope you never have to do it.
Everyone's warning me about it.
I never wish that upon anyone. It's literally the worst. Maybe you don't have to do it.
Hopefully I can just bypass that. Well, not that I don't love radio and not
absolutely
love radio personalities, but I don't want to wake up early.
Well, I'm not a fan of either myself. Here's the point. That now you can connect with everybody in every way that you don't have to be in to touch them.
Yeah.
You literally can get on a Zoom and meet somebody. Do you know how many meetings I have now? Because I don't have to fly to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I don't have to fly across town. And they're like, hey, we want you to meet
for sure.
Some executive of a TV show that I'm talking. They're like, okay, I'd have to fly. They're like, no, just Zoom it up.
And yeah.
I'm like, wow, I don't have to fly. No. So the radio tour thing, I hope, goes away.
I think post-COVID, that's kind of become more of a reality. Not just a regional tour thing.
Even if you want, and listen, I have a lot of friends in radio, I kid. But even if they wanted to send you to Atlanta, right? And you do that southeast part. They wanted to send you to Pittsburgh. Okay, but for new artists, I feel bad because they run you guys ragged. So I hope that doesn't happen to you.
Well, let's keep on dreaming.
What are you doing this week? So you say you're about to go back to New York or you just came from New York?
No, I just came from New York yesterday. We landed yesterday afternoon, but this week is a big week because I'm debuting my first record, my first full-length record tomorrow.
Debuting, what do you mean?
This being my first full-length record. I've put out, EPs and singles before, but this is my first full-length and it consists of 12 songs and it's been in the works for the last 2 years, but I really feel like it's been in the works for my whole life. It's just a huge accumulation of influences and styles and sonics that I'm really inspired by and I wanted to put onto this record. That's coming out tomorrow with a music video.
Why I'm confused is, okay, today's Thursday, but your record will already be out by the time this airs. So in my head, I was already there.
Oh, shit.
And you're like, it's coming out tomorrow. I'm like, we have another one?
Yeah.
So this is it. So as of now, it's out.
Oh, yes, it's out now.
Look at us. It's out. Right now, it's out. So with that, you say you've been, I forget the terminology. You said you've been working on it your whole life. Is that what you said? What do you mean by that?
It's been a long process for me to get here. And what I mean by that is I am very sure and confident of what my sound is, what I want to say, what I'm trying to present in my songs lyrically, how I'm trying to produce it sonically, what kind of creatives I want to be working with in order to get that product. And I feel like this has been, so I started off in jazz, moved my way into soul, experimented in pop for a little bit, went into Western, and now here I am in country music, but it's a huge accumulation of all of those styles. And so when I started in jazz, when I was like 10 years old to where I am now, it's just building off of what I've already learned in my past with music and basically trying to put it in a way that is easily digestible for the consumer, but is still really broad and deep and introspective. So
with all the, I'm going to ask a couple dumb guy questions in a second, but my journey here, I worked in pop, I worked in alternative, I worked in hip hop, I did sports. I'm here in country. I grew up in Arkansas, country to start with, but I've bounced all around and when I first got here, it was, oh, you're not one of us. I was told that all the time. Mm-hmm. I was like, you're not one of us. You're not one of us. You came from this or that. You've done multiple things. And here, we don't do multiple things. We do one thing. And, mm-hmm. and I'm like, no. That's how it used to be. But that's not how people are today. So I don't think that's how anyone that works in, mm-hmm. in Nashville in this format are. How has that been? Because, again, you have so many different, I don't even want to say influences. I want to say almost fundamental parts of your musical journey and career. Mm-hmm. Has anyone been like, wait, you sing jazz and now you're doing country? How does that work?
Yeah, I, not to get too deep into it, but I come from a really interesting household. I come from a mixed race household. My mom's white, my dad's black. My sister's adopted. I spent half of my life in Santa Barbara, California, and half of my life in Houston, Texas. Very different geographics, very different political climates. And so I feel like I was really privileged in a sense to be able to kind of have this really empathetic, unbiased view towards people. And I've always kind of felt like I was in the middle anyway. I always felt like I didn't fit. And so entering into this space wasn't any different for me. Mm-hmm. It's something that I've always kind of dealt with my whole life. And I find a way to kind of carry that confidence of, even though I look different, I still belong here. And the empathy in it helps people to really connect with me and connect with my music. And so I don't ever feel like I don't belong, even though I know for a fact that I don't fit in.
And that's good. I don't belong. Oh, wait, I belong, but I don't fit in. Yeah, I think I feel, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I do belong.
And people love you here. And I think
it just depends who you talk to. And it's a very revisionist history too. But I think people, same can be said for you, people respect, and I'm going to use the word voice, not as my literal physical voice, but people respect your voice, not singing voice, but who you are and what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
The same way that I think even people don't like me or how I do things, I think they still respect my voice as well because I've really been unapologetic about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always known who I am and what I want to say and who I want to represent.
For sure.
And so same can be said about you. When I was asking people about you, they were like, oh, you'll love her. She's strong. And she'll be strong with you. And I'm like, should I be scared? Or no, they're like, no, you'll respect her.
I feel like people said the same thing about you.
Yeah, no, that's what it was. Because I was like, hey, what's Madeline? They're like, oh, yeah, you'll like her. She's strong. And I'm like, wait, are you, am I intimidated? Am I scared? Do I lie? They're like, no. Oh, you'll kind of meet your match in the best way. And so that's the best compliment that someone could
give really
you.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
I'm not that intimidating. I'm actually pretty nice.
Yeah, no, it's not that you're not nice.
I used to be kind of mean, but I've found Jesus since, so I'm kind of nice now.
I think your confidence can be intimidating to some people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not something that you have to worry about.
No.
That's a them thing.
It is.
Yeah, and I'm same for me. I think sometimes my confidence can be misconstrued at times.
Mm-hmm.
I think my confidence and also my crazy insecurity, because I have both.
Yeah.
And it's okay to have both because I'm a creative.
Mm-hmm.
I think that sometimes can look like, with me, arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
No one said that about you, but I hear that about me. It's like, oh, he's kind of arrogant. And they're probably right in how it's presented, because sometimes I'm really confident. Sometimes I'm mm-hmm. so insecure that I have to like, oh, no, I'm really good, I promise.
Yeah.
And so it's a weird mix to deal with, but
well, you've had longer in this industry too, so you're going to have more critics coming against you, and I might sometime in the future too.
Well, also, I'm more of a jackass. Let's be honest. I think that's what it is. Not you.
Were you always that confident?
But I'm not. I'm so not mm-hmm. in parts of my life.
Sure.
The only thing that I know I'm good at is this, mm-hmm. and I'm the best at it. And
yeah.
then other than that, I am so insecure.
Can I ask you a question?
You can ask me whatever you want.
Do you ever feel like you get that imposter syndrome because you feel like there's parts of your life where you don't feel like that, but here completely. And when you're a creative, that confidence comes through?
Complete. I live imposter 97% of
if
my career life was a pie, and most of it's imposter syndrome just because I shouldn't. Yeah. I don't feel like I'm that talented. Where if when I hear mm-hmm. you and I know all that you've gone through to get to this point and all the pivots that you've taken and different roads that have gotten you here, and those roads have gotten you here, but I feel like you are talented and you've picked up a lot of things along the way. And I go, man, Madeline's so good. She's so talented. Like, you have a literal talent. I get offended when people say I'm talented. I know it's a weird thing, therapy thing. But I'm like, I'm not talented. I've just worked hard. And you're telling me I don't work very hard because I'm not talented. Where you,
yeah.
I know you're super talented, but I also know how hard you've worked.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a talent. If you were taken out of here and thrown into Albuquerque tomorrow, you could still work and sing and have a career in Albuquerque. Me, I'm done. I got nothing. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
I've climbed the ladder, and if I fall off the ladder, there are no more steps back up. They've cut all the steps out underneath me as I've climbed up. So when did
I appreciate that. Thank you.
But and I mean it. I sincerely mean it. How do you sing jazz? What does that mean?
It's different tones and timbres in your voice. So, I mean, do you want me to give you an example?
You don't have to. I'm not asking you to sing because I know you've traveled.
I mean, I don't mind. It helps explain it better.
If you don't mind, I would love it.
So I grew up on Ella Fitzgerald, Frank Sinatra, Etta James, Dave Brubeck, and there is a certain learning how to combine the improvisation of jazz with also structure. Because you can sometimes do whatever the hell you want in jazz, and everyone's like, yeah, and that's jazz. But there is a structure to it, and I think that's what a lot of people don't see. And so, for instance, what I loved in Ella Fitzgerald's voice is that she had this tone that was super rich, but also she has this timbre that a lot of operatic people do with more space in between. But when you have jazz, it's closer in between. So how you would do it is... dream, a little dream of me, like that. So it's quicker. Where opera, it's way more space in between. Pop, you don't really see it that much. Country, you can see it sometimes.
When you say space in between?
Space in between the vibrato going on in between your voice. Mm.
And so you train to do that in jazz to have...
You can. The way I trained myself is I just listened to it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I taught myself.
Can you listen to music? And do you have a good ear, like with instruments? I know you play piano.
Mm-hmm.
Can you listen hear? Can you hear something and translate it almost immediately?
Oh yeah, I mean, I would definitely consider myself even a producer in that sense that I can pick up things pretty easily when I listen to them.
When did you realize as a kid that it came a little easier to you than it did other people that were trying to play piano or just do music randomly?
I was probably like 8 or 9. I started picking up piano quicker and. Just picking up jazz piano is specifically quicker than I probably should have. I didn't know that I was good at music, though. It wasn't something that I thought to myself, like, wow, I sound good. I remember wanting to try out for Star Search when I was like 5 and trying to learn a Mariah Carey song, and it was failing epically. And then I was like, nah, I don't think I can try out for Star Search, because I don't think I actually thought I was good, but I worked hard at it. And I think when... there's a certain level of talent, and you work hard. It's just a good combination. So,
do you need a water?
Oh, I have one.
Oh, you do? Okay, just making sure.
Do I sound dry mouthy?
You do not, but I'm grateful that you would show me that with your voice, because mm-hmm. I never want to require that, because obviously you're traveling and we're just here talking, and I didn't tell you. And then I was like, I want to make sure you have water if you're singing here.
Oh, no.
That's all. I just want to make sure you're good. So you're good.
Yeah, no, you're no, good. No, I'm okay. Fine. I love singing. I'll take any excuse to sing. I'm not snobby about it.
Are you someone, because... as your star has risen, at least here in this town in the past, I would say 6 months, a year or so, when people, you know, mm-hmm. really start popping, people knowing about you, are you doing different things to take care of your voice? Are you learning things, or are you still kind of the same? You're just going to do how you do it?
No, I've had to start taking care of it. So before I moved to Nashville, when I was living in Houston, I was singing as my job. This was my full-time job. I sang 4 or 5 hours a night, almost 4 or 5 nights
doing,
a week.
Wait, huh? Doing what? What are you singing?
Just singing anything. Pop, country, jazz, Maroon Where? 5, Frank Sinatra.
Where?
Just in jazz bars, steakhouses. I mean, that was my bread and butter. That's how I put myself through college. That's how I learned how to be a really good singer and support myself doing it. It wasn't the most glamorous thing in the world, but I think when I was doing that, your voice is a muscle. So Olympic runners, I mean, they can run miles and miles and miles and they don't get tired, but it's because they've trained their body to do that. Same thing with a voice. Like if you train yourself to sing and protect it the whole time, you can sing 4 or 5 hours a night. And I honestly wasn't even getting tired. I was just stretching this muscle as far as it could go and learning how to protect it at the same time. So now what I do is cold water therapy. I love the Wim Hof method. I actually just tried a sauna situation this morning where you go into a chamber. It's kind of a nightmare for anyone that's claustrophobic, but I tried it today and I loved it. So,
is a sauna situation a sauna? I don't understand. Is that
I mean,
anything?
I think it's a sauna. You know what I'm talking about? Where you go into that chamber and then you're kind of like covered from the chest down and you can't
That's not a sauna then.
Oh, is it not?
That must be. Is it cold or hot?
It's super hot.
You ever heard? Because I know you made fun of me for the coffee thing. I have a sauna here too.
Do you really?
Yeah, yeah. But it's not. You must have gone to some specialized.
I think it's a specialized sauna.
Okay,
it's
that's cool.
New technology. I don't know. My manager told me about
it. Sauna situation. I wasn't for sure.
Well, apparently it's good for your voice, and then also I've been drinking and eating a lot of pasta as a celebration, and I'm gonna have to fit into this dress for the CMAs next week, and I'm like, I'll sweat out all of this as much as I can. Yeah.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
TECOVAS.com. TECOVAS.
Yeah. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Hey, it's Amy Brown here to talk about the incredible work that's being done by St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and to ask you today to join me in becoming a partner in hope. When you make a donation to St. Jude, you're helping an organization that has helped push the overall childhood cancer survivor rate from 20% to more than 80%. And I can tell you from personal experience, that number and the hope that it brings is invaluable. Families do not have to worry about a thing. Treatment is covered, travel, housing, food. And when you're a family that's going through this, like imagine you're a parent, your kid gets cancer. You need to focus on that child. You don't need to be worrying about other things. And financial stuff can get really stressful. St. Jude covers it. Your support means families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment. And when you sign up for just $19 a month, you're going to get the new This Shirt Saves Lives tee. So join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope and text Bobby to 785-833. That's B-O-B-B-Y to 785-833.
You talk about your record, which is out. And something that I constantly have to reevaluate is, again, I'll go back to the word voice. Like, what do I stand for? What do I want to say? Who do I want to say it to? How do I want to say it? It's what is my perspective, right? This is something I'm constantly, and mine changes too. Mm-hmm. As I get older, as I meet new people, as my mind is open to, what is your voice? Like, what's your perspective? What is your deal? What do you want to do? How do you want to do
it? Yeah, I've never really had anyone ask me that before, but I feel like people just get the gist. But there's actually an answer to this, which I'm glad you asked me this because I feel like I could go more in depth with my answer. But I think because of my background, I'm a true believer in inclusivity in every aspect, whether that be belief systems, genders. No matter where you come from, no matter what your race is, I was very fortunate to grow up the way I did, but I know a lot of people weren't, and a lot of people see a lot of oppression and just polarizing anything, especially in this society and especially with social media and technology right now. And so my message is to push loving everyone and just showing that inclusivity, not only in my songwriting, but even in just like, I think this is a weird futuristic country record. You see little bits of R&B and Motown and songs like Forehead Kisses, but it still sounds like a Brooks and Dunn song because there's slide guitar on it and steel. You hear these elements of true, true country and Too Much of a Good Thing and Why I'm Calling. And you hear, you know, different sounds across the board. And I think that's even showing some inclusivity too, because it's showing a broad spectrum of genres and cultures. And so I just want to show people, especially in this day and age, that you can become a stronger person by digging deep and going through the pain. I think there's a lot of things to distract us right now from doing that. I'm not even just talking like substances and alcohol. I'm literally talking about even our phones or shopping or just things that distract us from going through hard things in our life. And the reason why I've gotten to this place that I've gone through or that I am right now is because I've gone through this really, really, really hard shit in my life and a lot of abuse. And instead of running from it like I used to, now I'm doing the things that I need to do, the heart work. I'm going to therapy. I'm making sure I'm building my community around me, making sure I'm pouring into my family as much as I can. And it's made me a stronger person. And I want people to see that. So that's kind of the message that I don't know if that totally answers your question, but
it does in a way. And I've heard you say a few things that resonate with me where, and you can tell me if this is somewhat similar for you. I used to be very resentful at how I grew up. You know, my mom was an addict. She died in her 40s. My dad left when I was young. I was welfare kid, food stamp kid, trailer park kid, whatever. All these things. And I used to hate it. I used to be so ashamed of it. And I used to be someone who resented it. And I never had a dad. And all these things happened to me. And I was just angry and sad. However, I got to a point where I started to appreciate it, because I'm glad all of that happened now, because one, talk about developing a muscle, and two, the tool that I have that I use the most is empathy. And I'm so fortunate to have that, and I wouldn't have gotten it in any other way. Like, you can't, that doesn't happen unless you go through all of that. And so now I do see that I was fortunate to have that happen and get through it and be able to go, okay, I see it. Now I want to try to make sure it doesn't happen and with other people, if I can affect
and
this.
The next generation. I mean, like, we carry the things that our parents do into our life, and you have a choice to break those generational curses and to break those barriers. You know, like, my kids are not going to deal with my kids, whether I have them biologically or adopt or whatever that looks like. It starts with me. It starts and it ends with me. And that's, I'm not carrying that over. And it sounds like that's kind of the philosophy you have in your life too.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I know so. It's when it comes to my life, obviously I look at me different. I look at you and I'm like, dang, that's awesome. Look at you. You should be so proud. And you look at yourself and you're like, eh, you know. But I now am proud of it. And as you talk about, did you have a stage where you're like, you know what sucks for me? It's difficult right now. And did you ever hit a point where you're now you, where you look back and go, oh, I've learned from all this. This is the greatest teaching set ever. Was it always this positive with you?
No, definitely not. I mean, this is kind of I would say even a more recent attitude that I walk around with. I would say over the last maybe 3 or 4 years, it's been like this. It's when I really started digging into, you know, therapy and trying to figure out how I need to take my past traumas and learn how to live with them. I'm trying to think of when I didn't think that way.
Was there anything specific that happened that kind of flipped your mind? Therapy was a big part for me too. I didn't know what therapy was growing up. And then I started to go only because they offered it as part of like insurance. And I was like, what is therapy?
Yeah.
We didn't have therapy where I came from. You're just worried about eating. You know,
for sure.
And so I was like, I'm going to therapy. What is this? And I went and it completely, I would say revolutionized my approach to perspective.
And I understand it's a silly concept. Like, if I try to explain it to people that also are not familiar with therapy, you know, it's not just going into a room and being like, blah, 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 here's my problems. And they're like, cool, here's the check. Have a good day. I don't know. I feel like there was a time in my life, probably leading up to when I started digging in, that I was just noticing a lot of patterns of falling back into past demons. And I feel like I have a very addictive personality. I've seen that kind of be a string in my life. And that's something that I've seen, you know, past generations in my family deal with. And I really feel like it must have been not even a crazy rock bottom. I think it's just when I started seeing it hurting the people around me, like my family and people that really cared about me and wanted to see me out of this. And don't get me wrong. I mean, there's been a lot of things. I also come from a fatherless home. He was pretty abusive in our life. And, you know, it was tough to deal with. But and I'm the oldest of five. So I kind of took over as like this weird mom role to my siblings, along with my mom. And me and my mom are survivors. You know, we've dealt with a lot of shit. But I think it's kind of just an annoying pattern of me seeing that and using my trauma or my abuse as an excuse to be like, actually, I want to drop $5,000, even though I know I don't have the funds to do this, or I should be saving for something like a house or college or whatever, or seeing myself like going to weed or seeing myself going to alcohol or whatever, and deciding I want to find a way to manipulate these patterns to where I don't have to fall back into this because I'm seeing myself in my father's shadow right now. I think that's probably more so what it was, is seeing myself in my dad and not wanting to be him.
Yeah, that's what scares me, because I got married a year and a half or so ago for the first time.
Congrats.
You too. And we don't have kids yet, but it scares me to death because I didn't see my dad, but I saw what happened there. And I'm like, mm-hmm. What if I'm that? Like, and I have a lot of therapy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't have to be that. I've broken the cycle in every other way. Why do I just attach myself to that one? Like, what if I have a kid? And I'm like, yeah, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that, but he did that.
Yeah.
So I'm.
Well, the funny thing is, like, you know, you're not going to be like that too. Like deep down.
Oh, yes. My brain.
Yeah.
Says, look at the data.
For sure.
You will not be like that because of every other way that you've changed your life. However, there's just something intrinsic in my heart, in my gut. That's yeah. I'm just scared, and it kind of overrides all the systems.
Yeah, no, I feel that. Thank you for sharing that too. That's very vulnerable.
I live a life of vulnerability. That is what I do. Your family musical growing up?
Yes, I. All of my siblings are musical. So the brother right under me, his name is Micah Edwards, and he's still based in Houston. And he has coined himself the title Mr. Texas Soul. And so he'll go around, you know, he's very much like a cross between Leon Bridges and Charlie Crockett, has an incredible band with steel guitar and a horn section. He actually just opened for the Warren Treaty last week in Houston. And he definitely follows in that lane of the Gary Clark Jr., Abraham Alexander world. And he's incredible. And my middle brother is out in LA pursuing acting and music as well. So
wow, creative, mm-hmm. like arts filled family.
Yeah.
I bet that's awesome sometimes, and also
really annoying. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can see where you can relate, but also it's got to be, it's the double edged sword there.
For sure.
So, do you guys ever just get together and go, nobody talks about music or art?
No, we love it though.
You do?
We bond over it. It's something that when we're together, it's kind of like a language of ours. Like, did you hear this Tame Impala record? No, let me, okay, da, 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 da. And then we'll just put it on and we'll analyze the music together in the room. It's kind of weird, actually, now that I'm saying that out loud. But
so all you three are very musical, but so was your mom? Did she have music in the house?
Yes.
What were you exposed to?
We were exposed to classical music, early jazz, like the people I was saying before, 70s music like the Beatles and Bread and the Bee Gees. And not very modern stuff. My mom didn't really like modern music. And so I actually didn't even know about artists like Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera until I was in middle school, which is wild. I felt very sheltered.
Could, like, get to a radio yourself somehow? Is that how you found it? Like somebody else having a radio?
Oh, yeah. I think I like just rode with one of my friends in the mm-hmm. car one day. And I'm like, what is this? And they're like, oh, this is Britney Spears. I'm like, this doesn't sound very jazzy.
What's the difference now? Because I know we're in November now. Last month you got signed at Warner? Was it last month?
Mm-hmm.
So what has happened since then? Because you obviously get signed, but then like what happens every day that's different?
I mean, this whole year has been moving fast. So it's just kind of a lot of the same stuff. However, it's really cool because this music video that we're putting out tomorrow, gosh, I can't.
It's already out. You can find it right now.
Oh,
it's one
yeah.
of my favorite
music
videos I've ever
right.
seen.
I need to keep saying that. The music video that's out right now, Mama Dolly Jesus. I mean, it looks expensive and it's incredible because I've never made work like this before. And it's kind of cool just having that associated with my music and my image now, because that's always the level I've wanted to be at. And that's something that I've been chasing my whole life. And to see it in this capacity now is a lot different. So life has kind of stayed the same in terms of busyness, but everything is elevated.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, to take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833. Now you have people with more influence working to hopefully put you in a place to succeed.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That means, you know why? I mean, why it's cool is they only have so much time and so much money, and the fact they're spending both on you means that there's a belief in you. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, they have limited time, limited money, and they're going to only pick the limited amount of people to spend both on, and they've now chosen you to spend some time and money on.
Yeah, no pressure.
No, yeah, right. But still, you give me all the pressure because I've earned the pressure.
Yeah.
And I've been working hard to feel the pressure. And
for sure.
Listen, pressure doesn't feel good, but I'd rather have pressure than no pressure, because no pressure means nobody cares.
Yeah. No, that's preach.
That, I mean, that's people, you know, ask me about being nervous a lot. When I was working on American Idol, it was really one of the things I worked with the contestants on most. They're like, how do you not be nervous? And it's just been a common theme of, man, you should be happy you're nervous. Imagine you're never nervous. That means nothing matters. That means you ain't getting a shot at anything.
Yeah.
Like, you only have so many times in your life that you get to be positively nervous.
For sure.
Because most times we're nervous, it's like somebody's sick, somebody's bad. But think about, you get to go, you have a shot. You get to feel nervous. Here is your gift with a bow on it. Nerves. Congratulations. Now, here's what you do with it. Like, it's one of the greatest gifts. Same thing as pressure.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest gifts. And it's a weird gift because it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
But
I appreciate you saying that I had an interesting conversation with someone a couple days ago that was very similar to that philosophy. Her name's Monica Earnshaw, and she was actually my boxing coach in Houston. And I saw her in Houston a few days ago, and she told me, you know, what are you feeling with all this happening so quickly? And I told her, you know, some days it feels really amazing, and then some days it's happening so fast that I don't feel like I'm adjusting well. Like, I feel like a lot of things are falling through the cracks. I'm forgetting to respond to some people because there's just so many people to respond to or whatever. I feel like I'm failing at it. And all she said to me was, you've been given a gift and your only job now is to just honor it. And that's it. And it was the most simple advice. And now I feel like I'm just going to carry that and this into the rest of whatever happens from here on out, because it's just that simple. You just honor the gift.
I would get really tired. And I would go, I'd be flying all over. I would just shoot a show here. We shot a show in another country. I'm doing the radio show every day. And I would be so tired. And I would have to remind myself, how lucky am I to be this exhausted doing what I want to do?
Yeah.
Like my mom got married again later in life. And she was married for a few years to my stepdad for a few years before she passed away. And he worked at a sawmill.
Mm-hmm.
And he was tired. But there's a difference. Yeah. I'm tired. You're tired. We're tired at like going after the thing we've always wanted to go after.
Yeah.
And that is, and I have to remind myself, though. I'm not reminding you. Sometimes I have to talk myself into this and go, you're really freaking lucky to be tired. Like, stop complaining. And then I'm like, why are you talking to yourself in the mirror? You can just think these thoughts. And it's a whole thing where then I make fun of myself out loud. And, you know, and then we take a bath. It's all right. So I do want to play Mama Dolly Jesus. Now, that being said, legally, if we play more than 5 seconds, we get sued. Not by you.
Really?
Yeah, but they have all these rules now on podcasts and music. And we used to be considered an editorial podcast, but now any podcast, you play for 5 seconds, you go to jail, apparently. So we're gonna do 2 5-second clips. We'll talk for a second, then go back into it. Can we do that, Mike?
Yeah.
All right, here is Mama Dolly Jesus.
You ain't mama, Dolly, Jesus.
All right, so we'll talk for just a second here and just talk. Wow, look at that. There's a tree outside the window. All right, Mike, hit me a little bit more.
Jesus,
what's the video?
What is it?
Yeah, like what's, you said it was, they spent a bunch of money on it. It looks cool. It's your vision. Like, what is it? What's,
oh man, it's so cool. It's one, I've never seen a video like this, especially in the country music space. And now that it's out, I can talk about it. But it's basically this concept that me and my girlfriends, we're super confident in who we are. We board this train with a bunch of tired, angry people that don't love themselves well, but they see us and they see us in all this confidence, and it's infectious and it takes over the entire train. And at the end of the video, you know, we get this amazing surprise. We have a drag dolly in the video, and it's incredible because I'm talking about Jesus and also having a drag dolly in the video at the same time, which, I mean, that could piss people off. I don't really care if it does, but honestly, it's just promoting more of the inclusivity.
Right.
But also, it's just this really—it's this really fun video. I think it's totally positive, and it's not meant to be divisive or controversial at all. I feel like it's really fun and positive, and really trying to get people to feel confident and love themselves well, and so then they'll be able to love other people well as well.
How was the Opry? When I saw, because I, you know, spent a lot of time at the Opry. Your debut a couple months ago.
Yeah.
I saw it pop up on the Instagram. I wasn't there that night, but it's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, it was nerve-wracking. There's cameras in your face all day,
all the time.
Which they're always, you know, that makes me a little more nervous, but it was really cool. My mom got to be there, and I sang Why I'm Calling, which is about her, and she lives in California now she's actually a child psychologist as well, but I just miss her. I'm doing a lot of big things in my career that honestly I wouldn't be able to do if she didn't raise me and protect me the way she did. And so it's kind of sad her missing out on all these really big life events just because we're so far away and, you know, she's working in California right now. But she got to be there, and that was really special for me. And I was probably crying from, you know, the minute I woke up to the minute I went to sleep just because I was so grateful.
That's cool. Was she crying?
Obviously.
Yeah. Do you see you in her?
I do. I see more of myself in my mom than in my dad, for sure. She's a really giving, loving person, and I think she actually believes the best in a lot of people and builds them up well, and I've always wanted to be like that. I think I'm starting to see myself be like that more.
So you feel like you're maturing? Do you feel like?
I mean, I'm old as crap. I better be maturing by now.
Yeah, but I'm 8 years old in some ways still. Yeah, I don't think age and maturation.
Yeah,
I don't think they always go hand in hand.
Like, That's true.
There are some parts of my life where I'm 9, and my wife, and serious and joking, she's like, "Look, there are certain parts of your life where you froze.
Yeah,
certain parts of your, psychological life, mm-hmm. certain parts of my emotional. There are some traumas there that just said, "All right, we're gonna put a stop sign here.
Yeah,
and we're just gonna stop until you have to uncomfortably go through the stop sign.
Yeah. I get that.
And I'm Peter Pan. I'm Peter Pan in a lot of ways.
I mean, I'm still a kid in some ways like that. That's why I'm in therapy. But yes, I feel like I'm maturing a little bit.
Did you always know what you wanted to do?
Yes.
Because I always knew, and it was weird to me that people didn't. And let's say you're 7.
Yeah.
What did you want to do when you were 7?
Music. Did you want to do this when you were?
Forever. There were 3 things I wanted to do. I wanted to be on the radio, on TV, and be a stand-up comedian. And I do all 3. But wow. I've always, I just would look at people and be like, what do you mean you don't know what you want to do? I just didn't understand the concept of not, I knew immediately.
Yeah.
But you too.
Isn't it crazy that we actually get to do it though? There's like maybe 2% of people that actually get to say that they, in entertainment specifically, because your odds are even small. You think your odds are small in the real world. They're even smaller in the world of entertainment. So the fact that we're getting to do this is wild.
When you wanted to do music, let's say you're 17, different stage of life,
mm-hmm.
you still want to do music. But what did that mean to you as a teenager when you wanted to do music?
I had to kind of buck up and figure out how that was going to be a career transition or start a career with that. Because obviously when I was 17, I started playing in jazz bars when I was 14.
So you, when you say music, did you want to sing specifically or was it...
I wanted to sing. I wanted to be a songwriter. I wanted to be a producer.
So at 14, you start going into jazz bars and singing?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's funny. I actually started singing in jazz bars because it was a way that I could help my family keep the lights on. But then I loved it. And I actually ended up making a lot of money doing that. And I sang for this guy in Houston. His name's Tillman Fertitta, billion-dollar buyer. He also owns the Houston Rockets and the U of H team. But he has a ton of restaurants and steakhouses and very high fine dining places in the entire Texas and South and on. But I was like one of his main piano players and singers for all of his establishments and all of his corporate events and everything. And so it was funny that it started off as this thing to really help my family along. And then it ended up being this amazing career by the time I left Houston and moved to Nashville. So,
you know, the Beatles would talk about. I don't know the Beatles. I just read books. They wouldn't talk to me about it. But
you know the Beatles?
I don't know the Beatles. But they would always, in interviews and in books, they would talk about going, and they would be in Germany, and they'd play these clubs in Hamburg for, you know, 8-9 hours at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where they got good at everything, because they had to do it 8 or 9 hours. They'd have to play songs 2 or 3 times. They'd have to play all these covers, the occasional original. But that's where, when you talk about singing for 3 or 4 hours,
yeah.
And they were like, well, we learned how not to be tired.
For sure.
You would sing for 8 hours, you'd play for 8 hours, you'd just be tired. But we learned how not to be tired and perform at a high level,
mm-hmm.
because we had to do it so often.
Yeah.
And so when you're telling that story about you having to sing for 3 to 4 hours a night,
mm-hmm.
and your voice wasn't even that tired, but you had to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
So it's probably easier to not go blow your voice while doing a show now, because you've had all this training is a good word for it. Like, it's literal. It's hard.
It was paid practice time. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought of it as when I was 17, which I think is a really mature way to think of it as a teenager. Anytime I was like, man, I don't want to play for 4 hours. This is really tiring. My mom told me, she was like, you're just getting paid to basically practice every song in every key in every format, whether people are paying attention to you or whether they're paying more attention to the football game behind you on the screen. Like, it doesn't matter. You're getting paid to practice and you can mess up and no one cares.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. Talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts. That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
You did a show with Stapleton?
Mm-hmm. I actually did a whole tour with Stapleton, which I have a funny story about that.
The All-American Roadshow, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you go on, you have a story for me? Or mm-hmm. Okay. So first, how did you and Kris even come together? What was that?
I was kind of online friends with Morgan, his wife. And we just kind of followed each other for a little bit up until the CMAs last year when I sang with Mickey and Brittany. And I met them because their table was right in front of our table. And I had just come off the stage from singing. My makeup is all sweating down my face because I'm crying and sobbing with the girls. And Morgan and I have already been basically Instagram friends for a couple months. And she points at me and she beelines it for me because she loved the performance and she really, really loved my music at the time. And she'd play it for her family. And we just made that connection there at the CMAs. And I was, again, sobbing more because these are my two musical heroes. And the fact that I was getting to meet them on this really historical night, not only in my career, but just in country music, it was kind of unreal for me.
So you meet then, and then who does she go, come out with this? Or
yeah, my touring agent, Lenore, she was the one that reached out to them when they were looking for a new opener. And Yola had come off for a few events that she was already doing, and they were looking for someone to fill Yola's spot, which actually this rolls perfectly into my story. So one of the spots that Yola was out for was Kris's massive Kentucky concert at a stadium. And the lineup, am I allowed to cuss on this?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. The lineup was Kris Stapleton, Willie Nelson, Sheryl Crow, and who the fuck is Madeline Edwards? That was the lineup. And very shortly before this happened, you were opening, I think, for Brooks and Dunn, was it? And you had a song come out called No One Cares About the Opener.
Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks.
Mm-hmm. I was the opener. Yeah, we went. Yeah.
I've never felt more seen than when you released that song on Instagram. And it was like literally right before I was about to open in this stadium for all of this massive star lineup. And then everyone's not only like, Madeline Edwards, okay, it's like legitimately, I've never heard of this girl and what is happening right now. So I felt very seen in that moment. Thank you.
That's funny. But the difference is you had talent. Again, we go back to that. Here we are playing in front of 70,000 people without talent. And
whatever.
Yeah, you know. Okay, so look, you got the new album that's out now. Not tomorrow. I don't know.
Mm-hmm, it's out now.
It's out now. Let's talk expectations of the record that aren't super personal, meaning if I do stuff, I want people to laugh and feel good. I want to feel, but it's like, also I want it to be, what do you want the record to do? Are you like, what's the purpose of this record when it comes to you in Nashville? Is it setting something up? Do you want the song to be a number one? What is it? What's the deal?
Yeah.
Is there a single that goes to
Mama Dolly Jesus?
Okay. Cause I've played a bunch of your songs on the National Weekend Show. You know,
I know you have. And thank you for that.
Cause I've been a fan for a long time. And
well, thank you.
So it's like, I just need to know what the song is, you know? So
Yeah. Well, the single is definitely Mama Dolly Jesus. I think that's...
Is that what they know and they're going to work that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. That's the one that we plan on working, whether it be to radio or whatever that means. Mm-hmm. That's the one, which is why we did a music video to it. But my hopes and anticipations for the record, and I'll preface this with saying, even if this record is a total flop and it doesn't do anything, I'm really proud of it. And this is exactly what I wanted to make and produce. And this is the message that I'm trying to give to the world. And so even if it does terribly, I'm still kind of like, this is my favorite record and my favorite piece of art I've ever put out. But what I would like for it to do, I want this to be a new era for me. I want this to be an establishing of myself here in Nashville, in the country music space, even in the contemporary music space, because I think Mama Dolly Jesus has the potential to cross over to pop. And I really want it to be kind of a statement of this is who I am. And it's not snarky or cheeky, because I'm challenging the listener to do the same thing. I'm challenging the listener to do the hard work and be confident in themselves. There's really, really sexy songs on here like Forehead Kisses or Playground that are very much, I'm very, you know, confident in my sexuality. I'm very confident in who I am as a woman, which especially in the Christian music space, which I'm not in Christian music, but I am a Christian, is usually looked down upon. And I don't think it has to be. I think that could be used in a really positive light, a woman being confident in her body and being confident in her sexuality. And then you have songs like How Strong I Am and talking about digging into the pain and coming out a stronger person. So there's a lot of different themes on the record. They all are genuine to who I am, but it's all challenging the listener to be confident in who they are. And so I think that's kind of my goal for it. I don't really know, like, accolades wise what I mean, obviously I would love it to go as far as I think it could go, which is, you know, I think this album could be recognized at least by Grammys.
Now we're talking.
Oh my gosh.
Let's get there. If you don't say it, how's it supposed to do it? You let people know your goal so they can help you.
I mean, I don't want to sound egotistical.
That's not, I asked you the question. I asked you the question. What would you like to go? Well, I'd love to win a Grammy. Boom. There we go.
Yeah.
I knew it was personally fulfilling. Like, I mm-hmm. really, because I know that's who you are, right? You're not going to do something that isn't you.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you said that. But let's go. Let's get some big goals. We're not scared of goals.
No, I'm not. I think I always kind of struggle with, like, I want to say what I want, but I don't want people to think that I'm egotistical or narcissistic for thinking that.
And there's a very fine line to what people think. It doesn't mean you are. Like I said about me and arrogance,
mm-hmm.
I don't feel like I'm arrogant at all, mm-hmm. but I definitely can see sometimes I cross a line to people where they do think that. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. They got a good point of feeling that way because it could have come off that way, but I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care as much about what people, that people understand me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they don't, either they will
yeah.
eventually, or I'll just die. And just be understood, and you know, I'll be one yeah. of the great thinkers that nobody ever really got. You know? not the point. Okay, look, here we are. The album is out. I everybody, I'm telling you, just go listen to it. It has been out for a bunch of days now. I don't know how many days at this point.
Tons of days.
Yeah, tons. So many days. I'm a big fan. I enjoyed you anyway without knowing you. But everything that people told me about you, they weren't exactly true. It's truer meeting you than even they said. Like, I really enjoy just spending time with you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're very deliberate, and I appreciate
Thank
that.
Thank you. I will say I've been kind of waiting for this call because I feel like music's not cool until Bobby Bones says it's cool.
Not true.
And I was like, I saw you interviewing a lot of my friends. I'm like, man, he doesn't think my shit is cool yet. I guess I just got to keep making cooler and cooler shit. And, oh, Bobby Bones didn't call me. I guess it's not that cool. But then finally.
You have a new album coming out.
I have a new album.
If we would have called you 2 months ago.
Oh, it wouldn't have been the same.
Right.
It
would have us got to know each other, but then you would have missed a prime opportunity, or I would have missed a prime opportunity to promote something new
yeah.
that you have just spent.
Well, you know what this means now.
I don't know what it means now.
It means my shit is cool.
It already was. No, it already was. I'm telling you, I've played Too Much of a Good Thing, Heart You Can't Break, Hold My Horses, Port City, Thinking About You. I've been playing all this stuff I played, right?
Yeah.
So I already thought it was cool. That's
all right.
So it was never that. It was always timing on when can you come in and promote your newest thing? And it makes we have a million people to listen to this. So I wanted to make sure that when you came in, we took the gift and we said, this is the gift. I'm presenting you. It's Madeline, and she's presenting her new project, her new music. There we go. Everybody wins.
Aw, that's sweet.
Why.
Thank you.
You've always been cool.
Thanks.
I, on the other hand, have not. And I am not secure in my body. And we'll just end it there.
No!
At Making Madeline. Mm-hmm. That's it. Go follow. What are you doing the rest of the day?
The rest of the day? Oh, my family's they're coming in town because I'm singing for the Opry again. So I'm going to be cleaning my house for the rest of the day.
When do you perform at the Opry? Tomorrow? Saturday?
Today. No, tomorrow.
We'll talk in real terms now.
Okay.
We're actually recording this on a Thursday. Friday night. The night of your album.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Big week.
Yeah, it's a big week. The Opry's a cool spot to do on an album release because, one, it's the Opry. Opry's always cool. Two, it's on satellite radio. Mm-hmm. It's on all these WSM. Oh, yeah. So there's actually a reach as well, aside from it just being the Opry. And then there's a lot of good social that comes out of it. So that's a good spot.
I love it. We're going to also be doing Mama Dolly Jesus with their band, with the Opry band, which I think is going to go so hard. And then we're going to really strip it down, and I'm going to be playing all by myself on their grand Too Much of a Good Thing. I think that is a perfect little spot right there.
I've never heard anyone say the Opry band goes hard, but I like it.
They will on this song.
You will make them.
I will make them.
No doubt about it. Madeline, it's been awesome talking to you.
Same.
It's really been amazing. You guys follow at Making Madeline, and you guys check out the album because it is out now.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Right. It's been out.
Listen to it. Go stream it.
I was already listening to it last week. It's so great.
It already won a Grammy.
It won a Grammy already. Let's speak it into existence. All right. There she is, Madeline Edwards.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.